You are listening to the weekly podcast from Journey Christian Church. For more information about Journey, please check out our website at journeychristian.com. We are a community of fully devoted disciples of Jesus who reach out to love our neighbors, serve the hurting, and develop leaders for ministry.
I don't know if you know this, but there are over 8 billion people on our planet. And as I was looking at this several weeks ago, is not only there 8 billion people, that there's actually a clock that is constantly going of people that are either being born or people that are passing. And you can just see it's just constantly going. And you got this world and you got this clock, 8 billion people. And you're like, man, where do you and I fit in the cul-de-sac that God has placed us in? It's like, man, sometimes we feel like, do I even fit in? Do I even have a place? I mean, 8 billion people is a lot of people. And I don't know about you, but there's this term that's coined recently in recent years, and some of us can experience this. It's called crowded loneliness. And crowded loneliness could be defined as this. Crowded loneliness is feeling lonely even though you're not alone. So you could be in New York City, in the state of New York, at Times Square, surrounded by tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people right there, and you could still feel lonely. And it's like, well, how is that possible? We got 8 billion people on the planet, but yet so many of us still feel lonely, or we feel alone. And the rise of crowded loneliness has only increased with technology. It's only increased over the past decade or two. And really what we're starting to see is the negative impacts of crowded loneliness and how it impacts us socially, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And these are all negative ways that they can have a massive impact. And so really what this series is about is we said no matter how big our world gets, we want everybody that comes to Journey to be known by name, loved, valued, and cared for. And so that's the whole KLVC is no matter how big the world gets, we want everybody at Journey. Matter of fact, we want everybody in Central Florida to be known by name, loved, valued, and cared for. And so that's where we're gonna go with this series. Today we're gonna talk about known by name, and the next week loved, valued, and cared for. And we're really gonna lean into a little bit of the next gen ministry throughout this series. We're gonna see that, and this is our logo for Next Gen. I just wanna give you a little bit. Some of you may not understand what Next Gen or Next Gen Ministries is. Next Gen stands for next generation, meaning this is our student ministry and children's ministry. We call our student ministry Journey Students, very simple. Both campuses is Journey Students, and then our kids ministry is Journey Kids. And some of you, you may not know this, but we have a children's ministry that is absolutely incredible where we will serve and love your children. I believe it's as early as 6 weeks old and up so that you can experience a worship service. And then once they become a teenager and you're like, hey, you take them. We'll take them. So we have Journey Students. And what we do is we stack hands with parents and both of those ministries to be able to serve and love and disciple the next generation. Amen? Matter of fact, I have a saying that I believe when it comes to revival, I think the wave starts in the student section. Yes. And we're seeing that right now. Matter of fact, just this past Thursday, Fellowship of Christian Athletes had a huge event for all of Central Florida, and it took place at Lake Brantley, and incredible, incredible event. And a lot of our students, a lot of our leaders were a part of making that happen. And so we believe in the next generation. If you are a teenager here, we just want you to know that we believe in you, but we don't just think that you're the next generation. We actually think you're the now generation. Amen, church? You're making an impact right here, right now. Teenagers, when we're talking about this idea of community, of biblical community, of being known, loved, valued, and cared for, I think that you are doing an incredible job of this. If you're a teenager here in Lake County, first of all, I want to say congratulations for being up in what we call the AMs. This is incredible, and I love it. And so many of you, you get up seriously on your weekend when you could sleep in to worship, and that says a lot about you. But here's what I want you to know from the adults in the room. You do community in a way that we, I think, have lost track of. Like the way that you lean into community, I don't know if you know this, but in teenage land, community is everything. Everything. It's not a part of something, it is everything. If I told a teenager, hey, you just won the lottery, Okay, here's $1 billion. Here's a lottery ticket, and here's the address where you got to go. Their first question is going to be, who's going to be there? Like, they just want to know who's going to be there. They don't care about what's happening. They want to know, who am I going to do it with? And I think adults, we can learn something from teenagers. I think God has wired us to be more like teenagers when it comes to community than like adults that may be too busy or too prideful or too hurt to continue to live in community. And so what do as adults? We learn to pull back. We learn to isolate. And we do that because at first it feels like we can handle it. And then all of a sudden, after a decade, we start having all these negative side effects and go, what am I missing? And God says, I never created you for isolation. I created you for connection. And what we need to do is get back to connection. I think if I were to ask a room full of people like this, what do you think Jesus' greatest miracle was? I mean, he had a lot of incredible miracles. So many different people would say different things. Maybe it was turning water into wine. Maybe it was healing somebody. I think one of Jesus' greatest miracles was that he was a 30-year-old man and he still had 12 friends. I think that's a miracle. I mean, seriously, men, can you imagine that? Like, man, he's over 30 years old and he's got 12 friends. Like, man, we don't even know what to do with that. 12 friends. And I know one of them was a little squirrely, but still, he had like 11 and a half. It's like, man. Some of you are all like, I don't have any squirrely friends. I think you might be the squirrely friend, okay? So here's a couple things that I want all of us to know as we celebrate baby dedication. I would want these babies to know, but then I think we need to know and remember this. A couple things. One is, you were made by God. It says this, Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So the first thing is, you were made by God. Second thing is, he knew you before you were born. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And so what you need to know is that God created you. And he doesn't make accidents. As a matter of fact, I think as he was knitting you in the womb, I think he was smiling. He's like, watch what I'm gonna do with Jessica. I'm gonna make her really, really, really smart, and she's gonna use that and be successful. Watch what I'm gonna do with Christopher. I'm gonna make him really, really funny. He's gonna make the whole room light up. And I think as he was knitting you, he was on the edge of his seat with excitement because you were made on purpose and for a purpose. These little ones that we celebrate, it's easy for us to say that to them, but I wanna say that to you. Don't lose the awe and wonder that you are an incredible creation by God and for God. Regardless of your past pain, hurts, or habits. If you have your Bible, you could turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, if you're using one of the church Bibles, page 922. John is one of the Gospels in the New Testament. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. It's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. So if you were kind of open up in the middle of the Bible, just kind of hang a right. If you see some names like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you're going to see John. We're going to be in John chapter 10. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in this story, and he wants to give them an example, an illustration of kind of his role and calling. And so he kind of communicates with sheep and with shepherds. And for him, he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And in John chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says this, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by what? Name. And he leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You see, Jesus has given us a model of what this looks like, that we were created to know others and to be known. And Jesus, and I think this is not just an example of that, I think it's also an example of my role and so many of our roles, because we are also sheep and you and I are also meant to be shepherds. We are meant to be shepherds where we are leading and discipling other people. And he gives us a model for that. We go ahead of them. We go ahead of them because leaders go first. We go ahead of them to protect them, to guide them. And we know our own sheep by name, that they matter to us. And when we use names, it expresses that you matter to me. And so there's this relationship between a sheep and a shepherd that Jesus is saying, that is the model of everybody is meant to be known, loved, valued, and cared for. So every single week, what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about two different sides of a coin. So today, what I wanna do is talk about those two different sides of the coin and then give you two steps. So if we're talking about, we want everybody at Journey to be known by name. So there's two different sides of that coin. The first one is this, side one, to know others. So side one is to know others, okay? This means when you come to church, I wanna encourage you to be proactive, to be friendly, to be hospitable, to say, hey, you need a seat, you can sit here. Hey, when maybe the service hasn't started yet and you're sitting down, just introduce yourself. Or maybe you're in the lobby or waiting for coffee or whatever it is, and you just wanna be proactive to know others. Hey, what's your name? How are you doing? Whatever it is, to know others. And then the second side of the coin is this, to be known by others. To be known by others. So you have one side is to know others. The other side is to let people know you. And this can be a little bit more challenging because this requires vulnerability. This requires people that are different than you. You don't control the scenario. You just get to respond to it. And I think a lot of us are really good or we lean towards one or the other. And I would say throughout this series, would you try to manage the tension of being both and not either or? Meaning this, some of you are really good and you're extroverts at going around and knowing everybody. You're like, man, yeah, I just went to church and I got 100 names. I know everybody. Like, you're just in the lobby, right? But then the moment somebody wants to sit down and just start talking about you, not about them, about you, you like freak out. Because the idea of somebody knowing you scares you because you've been hurt. And so the idea of this is that when we show up is we want to know others, but then also to let others know us, that it's not a one-way street either way. And what a beautiful picture that can be. So here are two different steps that I want to encourage us to take in order for us to know others and to be known. The first step is this, learn people's names. This is really simple. Learn people's names. Learn people's names. This is one of the easiest ways to love somebody simply by knowing and using their name. Dale Carnegie said this, a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Think about that. It's true. Just learning somebody's name is so simple. Now, here's what I don't need from you. I don't need a pop quiz at the end of the service, okay? Okay, I had that after 8:30. I got all kinds of people asking me their name. And so listen, this is my standard answer. You come to me, I'm just gonna call you Frank. You're gonna be Frank from the rest of your life, okay? I will do my best. But again, Jesus had like 11 and a half, okay? So that is true. We aren't meant to know thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and you don't need to know everybody's name, but you need to know somebody's name. Everybody doesn't need to know your name, but somebody should. It breaks my heart to think about somebody coming to the most beautiful place on the planet, church, and feeling alone. Man, that breaks my heart. I don't ever want anybody to feel alone. And so we want everybody to learn people's name. Several years ago, I have a buddy of mine that he's a basketball coach, and he started a ministry where he would go into prison, and he would just hang out with guys and play basketball with them, teach them some stuff, and just love on them, get to know them. And he's sharing this story with me about how he's in the process of forming a team because it's growing and he's looking for new players. And I'm like, all right, I know where he's going. Like, I'm excited. Like, I know he's about to ask me to be on the team, and he's telling me all about the team. And then he kind of skips out, like he ends that part of the story and keeps going and does not ask me to be on the team. And I'm like, so now my feelings are hurt. So now I'm a little distracted. So now he keeps going and he talks about what he does with the team. He says, Dustin, before we ever get on the court, before we ever grab a basketball, the most important thing we do, and I was thinking some spiritual answer. And he's like, no. The most important thing we do is we learn their name. It's the most important thing we do. You see, because in prison, what they try to do is they try to strip away your name. And instead they give you numbers and a label. And they say, not this was what you did, but this is who you are. And he said, the number one thing we got to do is take away the label and say, that's not who you are. That's what you did. God has a label for you, and it's a lot different. That he loves you and he's crazy about you, but it starts with a name. And so he'd go in there and he would just learn their name and call them by name and pray for them by name, encourage them by name, probably even dunk on them by name. I don't know. Learning somebody's name may be the easiest way to say, I care about you. Just learning a name. And it could be at a restaurant. It could be anywhere. Step two, collect stories. So you learn their name is step one. Step two is collect stories. One of the things that this coach would tell me is after he would get their names, he would play with them a little bit, and then when it would be a water break or lunch break or whatever, he would just kind of sit somewhere or kind of just, as they're waiting in line, just pull somebody around, and he's got all this energy, and he'd be like, hey, man, hey, Frank, hey, I collect stories. Let me get yours. That's how he'd say, hey, I collect stories. I'm a collector of stories. Tell me your story. Tell me about yourself. Tell me anything and everything. And then he would quiet his mouth. He would shut his mouth and just let the other person talk so that they felt valued. And when you hear somebody's name, learn somebody's name, and then hear their story, it is one of the most beautiful ways to form community. As a matter of fact, learning their story helps you learn their name. Because we can always forget names. We don't forget stories. And when we remember a story, we associate it with a name. And so he's always got a story. Coach always has a story because he's collecting stories. He doesn't just collect them, he then shares them. And so what we want to do around here is we want to see what would it look like when we gather for church if you learn someone's name. And after you learn their name, you learn their story. That's my prayer. That's my vision. What a beautiful picture that could be in Lake County, Popka, that every time we gather, we just look for names and we look for stories. This is why we believe in life groups so much around here, that we think worship, corporate worship like this is incredible. I get fired up every service. I come to every service and every Sunday and every service, I get fired up. Like I love our worship team. I love all the elements. I love prayer. I love it all. But this is not the main event. Us in Christian community is the main event. And if we come here week in and week out and we just sit in a seat and we go home and we're isolated, we're missing one of the greatest parts of the church, and that's Christian community. And I know some of your stories, it's similar to mine. You've probably been hurt by the church or by a Christian. And if that has happened in a severe way or multiple times, then the natural thing is to take a step back. Or to remove that thing that hurt you. And when we do that, we end up cutting off one of the most beautiful things that God has for us in the church. The church was not meant to be here to inspire you. That's not the job of the church. I'm gonna come, and because I hear this from time to time, and I've heard it for 20, 30 years, is I didn't get anything out of that, or that didn't fulfill me, and the church isn't here to get anything out of it. What if you showed up not to receive something, but what if you showed up to pour yourself out? See, I've been a part of a large church for a lot of my career, and I've heard different times people would get frustrated and leave and say, nobody at that church loves me. I said, well, talk to me. Let's talk about that. Where did you try to get involved? Oh, I never tried to get involved. Like, I would never serve. I would never do that. Okay, well, why do you feel like nobody loved? Well, nobody came to me. Nobody this, nobody that. I said, okay, well, when did you go to find somebody's name and hear their story? Oh, well, I didn't really do that. And so if we come to church thinking that it's all about you, then yes, you will always leave disappointed. Because it's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. And the moment we take our eyes off of Jesus and make it all about us and our preferences and needs and wants and desires, you miss the point of church. But when we focus on Jesus, we bring a cup to church that says, God, would you fill me up? Because I want to pour myself out. Every week we get a cup, say, God, fill me up. And pour me out. There's two sides of the coin. God, I want somebody to know my name, but I want to know somebody else's name. Both and, not either or. We believe in life groups, and I think they're essential. Just to let you know, our life groups run on semesters. So we have a fall semester, we have a spring semester of life groups. And so right now our life groups are dwindling down or are ending for the spring semester. And life groups are really, they're small groups in homes. This is where we make the large world small. And that's where we get to know and be known. And I believe that life groups are the health and the blood of the church. And so we want to encourage anybody and everybody to jump into a life group. Our fall life groups will start to unpack and start up in August. But I want to encourage you right now, begin praying about and prioritizing how can you jump into a life group. And some of you are like, man, I don't know about jumping into a life group with a bunch of people I don't know. Great, well, start your own life group. Come up with 8 or 10 buddies of yours and say, hey, come to us and say, hey, what do we need to do our own group? Great, we'll help you get everything you need to get situated and go from there. I had a buddy of mine several years ago. He would work at Starbucks. Some of you might do this or have done this. And he was in a rhythm where he would go to Starbucks every single day, Monday through Friday, every single day. He did this for over 3 months. And at Starbucks, you know the drill. They'll, when they take you order, they'll say, okay, what's your name? And then they'll write your name on the cup and then they'll call your name. So there's 3 times that they're processing your name: when they ask you, when they write it, and then when they call it. And after my friend had been going there for over 2 months, he noticed that it was the same barista every time, asking him the same question every time. And one day he just kind of got frustrated. He didn't express it to this person. He just got frustrated internally. And so they said, hey, what's your name? And he's like, are you kidding me? I've been coming here. He's thinking this. I've been coming here for months every day and you don't know my name. And then the Holy Spirit convicted him. Holy Spirit said, what's the barista's name? And at that moment, he realized that he only had one person's name to remember. That person had a ton. And that person has a name tag. And he doesn't. And the Holy Spirit convicted him and said, for months, he'd been showing up to Starbucks thinking it was all about him. And it wasn't. And so my prayer is this, that when we show up to church, we would recognize that, yes, we need to be known, but would we first look to know others? Would we first look to figure out how can we pour our cup out, that it's not always about us, but how can we show up to love and to serve? I want to do something in a moment that I know some of you are not going to like. How's that for starters? Okay. I'm just going to let you know right now, my email has been disabled this week, so I do not need to hear your email. Okay. But we are going to do something that we used to do all the time as a church. There's something we did every week. As a matter of fact, not only did we do it, churches all around the world would do this and often still do it. And then COVID came and it shut it down. Some of y'all are like, that's right, I'm packing up. I'm leaving right now, Pastor. Oh, no, you don't. Some of you know where I'm going. In a moment, what we're going to do is we're just going to get to know the people around us. We're just gonna say hello. Amen. And some of you right now, the introverts, are having a heart attack. Some of the introverts in the room, you think COVID happened because God answered your prayers to get rid of that. Like you're like, and now the extroverts are like, thank you, you heard my cry. So what we're gonna do for this series only, is all the extroverts are, oh. For this series only, what we're gonna do is we're gonna have a moment during the service to just say hello. Normally it'll be during the worship time like normal, but today, since I have to introduce it, we're gonna do it now. Let me give you some of the rules, okay? So we gotta go over some rules, okay? Some people are not as comfortable with other people as you are. Some people do have serious health issues, okay? So I'm gonna give you 4 ways that you could say hello to somebody. The first one is the peace sign. This is a non-contact way of saying hello. I could do this from 100 feet away. I could do this from 2 feet away. I'm not making contact. Whatever you have, I'm not getting. It's just right here. Do, okay? The second one is the most formal. It's a handshake, okay? What you are saying is whatever you have, I want, okay? You're just saying, we're just gonna. The third one is like, I wanna lean in, but not fully. That's a fist bump, okay? That's a fist bump. And then the fourth one is this could be if somebody has something. I've done this to people that do have a medical issue. It's just a little chicken wing, okay? You're just giving a little chicken wing, okay? So if you don't know the person that you're gonna say hello to, that's not the time to see if they like hugs, okay? This is not the time to guess, okay? So just know that. This is, don't make it weird, people, okay? Don't make it weird. But what you're gonna do is you're just gonna, in a minute, you're just gonna greet those around you. Just find out their name and just take a couple minutes and get to know the people around you. With that said, Lake County, Apopka, let's stand up and let's greet those around us. Find out their name.
Hey, brother. You know how we do. Give me my hug.
I love it. Love it. All right. All right. All right, you can go ahead and have a seat. You can go ahead and have a seat. Yeah. Yeah, if I can get security, yeah, get security, all of them out of here. Get them out of here. All right. I don't know what that was like for you. For me, it was beautiful. Like, I love seeing all y'all get to know and interact. Some of y'all, like, took it a next step. Like, some of y'all already have a potluck planned. I love it. You're like, hey, we're in. We're in. I love it. I think this is a picture of heaven. Where every single person, yeah. Where every single person is known by name, loved, valued, and cared for. Notice, to do those things, I'm not asking what somebody believes in politics. I'm not asking what their history is. I'm not asking what their sin resume is. I think our calling is to know people by name, love them regardless, value them like Christ does, and then express that by the way we care for them. That's the church working right. And my prayer, and I know I jokingly said earlier, but I know honestly that that's probably very uncomfortable to some of you. And I know the temptation. I know a lot of people that will go to a big church just so they can blend in, so that they don't want anybody to know them. And I'll just say, I get that, but that's not a picture of Christian community. Maybe you need that for a season or for a day, but not for forever. And you don't need to know everybody's name, and everybody doesn't need to know everything about you, but somebody needs to know about you. And you need to know at least about somebody else. And when we do, it's the church working right. Amen? Amen. I don't know, I kind of have a warped up mind. I don't know if you're watching online and maybe you weren't sure what to do in that moment and you're at the gym and you just went around greeting people at the gym. I don't know what to do with that, but like, kudos to you. You're like an extra extrovert. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna do this every week and we're just gonna lean into it. Maybe the first week we get to know somebody's name, because here's the deal, most of us sit in the same area every week, right? And so maybe the first 3 or 4 weeks, you just need to hear the name over and over and over again. And then maybe in June, you're like, hey, I think I got the name. Now let me move on to the story or learn a little bit about their family. And then after a while, we just get to learn and love and pray, encourage one another. And that's the hope. That's the vision. No matter how big our world gets, we want everybody that comes to Journey to be known by name, loved, valued, and cared for. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you. I mean, I'm amazed. There's 8 billion people on the planet right now, but generation after generation after generation, you know them all. You created them all. You know the hairs on our head. You knit us together. You knew us before we were born. And God, I pray for anybody that's here today that feels that sense of crowded loneliness. It breaks my heart, as I believe it breaks yours. And so God, would you help us to lean in, even though we may have been hurt or have past pain, would you help us to lean into Christian community, to know others, but to also be known? So Lord, we love you, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the weekly podcast from Journey Christian Church. If this message was a blessing to you, be sure to click the follow button and share it with your family and friends. For more information about Journey Christian Church, please go to journeychristian.com.